SBS Radio.
So what happened to this fourth sailor that everybody assumed that was dead? Now, nobody ever thought too much about it until, oh, I can't remember the date, 2008, 2009, something like that, or maybe even sooner, I don't know the exact date. But there was a boy who was, every year he would walk down into the Ruamunga River, because every year the river used to change course and bring up some interesting surprises. So he took his dog down there, and then he could see something shiny, something white and shiny in the water there. That looks interesting. And he went over and had a look at it, and he dug it out, and it was a skull. Right? Now, the Ruamunga is in the North Island, but on the very south part of the North Island.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Murderer's Bay, or Golden Bay, where Tasman was, is in the very northern part of the South Island. So it's not that far apart. And the Maoris that were in that area were actually from that part of the Northern Island,
mm-hmm.
of the north part of the New Zealand. So he took it to the police, and the police examined it, and then they thought, well, gee, we better get some forensic people in. And they said it was very, very old. And more startling than that, they said it was female, and it could be as late as the 17th century. So how could you get a European female skull? How is that possible?
Yeah.
So they got in a forensic expert who's probably the only one in New Zealand who could really examine it with any ability. That's Dr. Robin Watt, W-A-T-T.
Okay.
And he examined it. And he came to the conclusion that it was definitely 17th century, right? It was definitely European and female.
Right.
So he contacted me and he said, well, Henry, how is this possible? How did this female European skull end up in New Zealand? So I thought, well, all I can do is look at the evidence. And I just remember that quote I just gave you, was a rough quote from the journal, that the fourth sailor,
yeah,
they assumed was mortally wounded, was dragged aboard the canoe.
Yeah.
But he may have been, most likely, well, I'm pretty sure he was unconscious. And he was probably made a slave, because usually anyone they captured, they either killed or made slaves, the Maori. And he fathered a daughter. Now, this daughter, when she was in her 30s or something, I think something like that, or 40s, she was killed on the Northern Island at the Ruamunga River. That's where her skull ended up. Yeah.
And no one knows why she was killed.
Oh, no. We don't know why she was killed. It might have been, a raid on a village, you know, they used to attack each other quite frequently. Take slaves, or some of them used to just wipe out the entire village. It was pretty brutal in those times. Yeah. But another interesting thing happened very early on in the, about the 1908 or 7, something like that. There's a record in the Wellington Museum by the curator of a helmet that was found there, that was found in the Wellington Harbour. Now, Wellington Harbour is almost directly across from Golden Bay, and they frequently went across the Maoris, across that strait there.
Yeah.
So they wondered how it got there. Now, unfortunately, the son of the curator, he called it a Spanish helmet. And when I looked at it, I thought, it's definitely not a Spanish helmet. It's completely the wrong shape. You know? I thought, if anything, it's a European helmet or even a Dutch helmet. So I was quite excited. And I contacted Dr. Robin Watt, who was also a member of the museum there, and he allowed me some time to go and examine the helmet. It's not on display, so I was very fortunate to examine the helmet. And I was pretty certain it was a European. And then I was given access to all the research that had been done over the last 100 years. And everybody concluded that it was either English or European.
Yeah.
And it was dated around 1580.
Wow.
Right? Well, that's when those helmets become common. And you've got to remember, though, that around about that time, 6,000 soldiers, English soldiers, went to the Netherlands to fight the Spanish.
Okay.
And they were, yeah. So that's, obviously, they're going to leave a few helmets behind. And a lot of those soldiers stayed behind, and they enlisted into the Dutch army. So there was certain... And a similar type of helmet used to be manufactured by the Italians and in Milan. And they used to export the helmets all around Europe. Yeah. Then I consulted an expert from America who happened to have the exact helmet, but in its complete form. And he thought also it was either Italian or certainly European, you know?
Yeah.
So, now, did that helmet belong to the sailor? Now, it's very, very tempting to say that it was, because how did the helmet get there? I mean,
yeah.
There's all sorts of other explanations that might have been a collector who just dropped it in the harbour, or some people used to have these helmets as like a heirloom, and they might have brought, a British person might have brought it to New Zealand and somehow dropped in the harbour. But to me, the most likely answer to that is that it belonged to this Dutchman, and the reason why he survived the blows to the head was because he had this helmet on. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was quite interesting.
Yeah, that's an amazing story.
Yeah.
So, Henry, you are publishing your book about 1642 Abel Tasman soon, is that right?
It should be ready today, if not today, tomorrow. So I can send it out either today or tomorrow. And anybody who wants a book, it's normally $55, but I've got a special. If you include your email and pay only $50 plus $15 postage, and I've upgraded that because of Father's Day, I've upgraded that right up until Christmas time. Instead of getting ordinary post, you'll receive express post.
Right.
And that $15 covers up to 3 books.
Okay. And where do people order the books?
Well, you can go to australiadiscovered.com.au.
Yep.
That's the easiest way, but a lot of people don't have the internet. So you can also send a check to my post office box, which is 49N, Campbelltown, North, New South Wales, 2560. Yeah, and on the internet, there's two ways of paying, through my website, australiadiscovered.com.au. You can pay either by PayPal or via a direct deposit. So I've got my direct deposit details there.
Okay. Well, that's great, Henry. Thank you very much for this brief view about the story of Abel Tasman, and it's all there in your book that people can order from now on and get this sent to them.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, thank you very much, Franz. I appreciate the opportunity to tell everybody about the book. It's in full colour, by the way, A4 size, 230.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.